Modern Sudan was once home to the powerful and wealthy African kingdoms of Nubia. In the West, much of what we know about Nubia comes from the work of archaeologists a century ago, who sometimes saw things through a colonial lens. Some museums are now addressing that. The World's Rupa Shenoy takes us to a new exhibit about Nubia at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. Some say it was the real-life Wakanda.
The exhibit is a maze of darkened rooms with spotlights on statues and sculptures. In one nook, an Egyptian stone woman sits, smiling. Curator Denise Doxey tells me she was carved in about 1950 BC.
She's wearing a long, heavy wig and a sheath dress and holding a lotus blossom.
The statue was put in a tomb in what is now Sudan, and that's where George Reisner found it in 1913. He was an archaeologist and also a curator at this museum.
He's considered the father of American Egyptology. As an archaeologist, he was really superb.
But he also got a lot wrong, Doxey says, in part because Reisner based his assumptions on history that was written by Egyptians. They were at war with Nubians for generations, and they tended to describe Nubians as barbarians.
He was a wonderful archaeologist, but he was not a forward-thinking man on social issues at all. So he brings his own racial biases, which happened to dovetail nicely with the Egyptians' image of the Nubians, and he causes him to completely misinterpret the site.
Reisner classifies the whole tomb as Egyptian, adding to the stature of their role in history, even though, besides the statue of the stone woman, everything else in the tomb, pottery, jewelry, is distinctly Nubian.
He just couldn't believe that the Nubians did all this themselves.
He couldn't believe that the Nubians had ruled over southern Egypt for a time and brought the stone woman statue back to Nubia as a prize. But Doxey says that's what actually happened.
He had it completely backwards.
Doxey says Reisner contributed to a portrayal of Nubia as a conquered, marginalized culture, somehow less important than Egypt, and eventually mostly forgotten by scholars.
You know, museums are wary about doing exhibitions and having nobody come because they don't know what Nubia is. So it perpetuates this idea that nobody knows what Nubia is, and it helps to keep that imbalance that Egypt is somehow much more important.
But it's been clear for some time that Reisner got it wrong. French and Swiss teams did excavations in Sudan in the 1960s and discovered that the tomb Reisner found with the statue, it was part of a thriving Nubian metropolis at the center of a trading network that reached far into Africa.
It's a massive fortified city with suburbs outside and ports and industrial areas and temples. So it was actually a very powerful and important kingdom.
A kingdom that left behind what's in the Nubia exhibit today. Fine pottery that's eggshell thin, dipped in a distinctive translucent blue glaze. Gold jewelry and sculptures depicting animals like rams and lions. Items that are ahead of their time, evidence of an advanced culture. In a way, Nubia was sort of Wakanda before Wakanda was Wakanda.
You're telling me that the king of a third world country runs around in a bulletproof catsuit?
You'll remember Wakanda as the fictional, ultra-advanced African country in the movie Black Panther.
The Black Panther has been the protector of Wakanda for generations.
Ta-Nehisi Coates, who writes the Black Panther series for Marvel, has said he imagines Wakanda being pretty much where Nubia was. So you could say that Nubia was the real-life Wakanda.
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Nicole Aljo is director of Africana Studies at Northeastern University. In a video in the Nubia exhibit, she talks about Pauline Hopkins, an African-American novelist who, in 1903, wrote about a secret advanced society of superhumans in the Nubia region. The idea of Nubia as a symbol pops up again and again, Aljo says. Right now, there's a ballot measure in Boston to rename a historic spot Nubian Square. It's currently named for an early governor who signed laws that enabled the slave trade.
So Nubia is kind of representing a kind of royal African history that folks can use to challenge European and racist colonialist ideologies.
The Museum of Fine Arts has offered Boston sixth graders and their families free tickets to the Nubia exhibit. Aljo says that's especially meaningful because of an incident that happened in May, when the museum says its planning for the Nubia exhibit was already underway. Seventh grade students of color on a field trip said they were racially profiled, and guards and other visitors said racist things to them.
That story was so horrifying. The outreach that the MFA is doing is certainly impacted by that.
The museum apologized and said it was creating a new senior director of inclusion position. Doxy, the curator, says now, to some extent, that incident informs everything they do. They're acknowledging the failings of one of the museum's important figures, even though questioning history could be seen as a political stance in the current environment.
I think we're trying to redress past issues that skewed in favor of white people, and that doesn't, I don't think, mean that we want to completely throw George Reisner under a bus and say he was horrible, but I mean, I think we have to be honest. He was a racist.
And that should be taken into account when evaluating his work, Doxy says. There are more issues to confront. Doxy and the two other curators of the Nubia exhibit are white. The museum says diversifying all staff is a priority because, as it seems from the case of Reisner, who gets to tell history can matter. For The World, I'm Rupa Shenoy.